Thank you very much for being here for our services at the Azalea City Church of Christ. Thank you very much for making the decision to put God first today. I know that there may be some who are still sick, some who are still under the weather, and obviously we have some who are out of town. But we are glad that you're here. We're glad that we have this opportunity to sing praises to our God. Thank you, Brother Jason, for leading us in our singing today. Thank you to Taylor, who came and read to us from a passage of Scripture that will be our focus today. Maybe a little bit high, loud, Brother Robert, if you don't mind adjusting that. But thank you also to Bubba, who came and led to us in that heartfelt prayer. Thank you to our brother Johnny. I tell you, Johnny, if when we get to heaven, I hope when we have communion, you get to do that, brother. I mean, you're an all-star. And I appreciate all those who are here today. To those who taught Bible class this morning, what a blessing you are. I am so thankful to be a part of the Azalea City Church of Christ. Aren't you? Amen. That was only one or two, but I know the rest of you meant it. Okay. But what a blessing it is to be a part of this church family. We, in the month of January, talked about what we can do to practice, what we can be practicing every day as Christians, focusing in Philippians chapter 4. Some of those lessons were lessons that we talked about challenging us, challenging things. Today, though, I want us to look at, again, Romans 8. We're going to be there in just a moment. Romans 8, verses 37 through 39. We're going to look at more than that as well. But as you're turning there was a young man who was filling out his college application or an application to a college he wanted to get into. And those of you who've been through that process, you remember they ask you all kinds of questions. And it got down to one that it said, what is some of your hobbies? What are some accomplishments you've done? And he thought real hard, and he didn't really have a whole lot that he was involved in. But in high school, he was on the wrestling team. They had high school wrestling. And so he put on there, you know, high school wrestling. Well, then the next question said, out of this hobby or recreational event, that what were some accomplishments you had? Well, he certainly thought, you know, I wasn't that good. I wasn't a very good wrestler, so I really don't know. And so all he knew to answer was, I got pinned a lot. You know, when you think about that, that may not be something that we're proud of when we have defeats. And that's what was on that young man's mind. I got pinned a lot. You know, that was what I accomplished. But some of us today might feel like we're getting pinned a lot. We might feel like we're down, we're beaten down. Why is that? Because number one, the devil's good at what he does. And we live in a world where the devil is the prince. Let's not forget that. And because he's the prince of this world, sometimes he really throws things at us. Some of you have been through a lot of discouragement. Some of you know that we've talked about that. We've prayed about that. You're still going through some things. We've been able to counsel with that. Folks, I know. I've gone through things myself. And sometimes it feels like the whole weight is of the world's on your shoulders and you're really struggling. But the good news is today that that's not the way God wants us to be. That's not the way it has to be. Today we can take anything that we have felt defeated and we can throw it at the cross. We can cast it at Calvary. We can leave it there at Golgotha. We can leave it at the feet of Jesus, knowing with all confidence that He will bear that. And today, we do not have to walk out of here with our heads held low. You know, I love to use this, and I'm going to use it again since I love to use it so much. But we can have the mindset of Rocky Balboa. When he looked at his trainer Mickey after Apollo Creed had pounded his face in for a couple rounds and knocked him down, we can get back to our corners and we have a decision to make. We can look at today because of Jesus Christ, we can look at our trainer, we can look at our brother, we can look at our husband, our wife, whoever it may be, we can look at him in the face and say, I'm not going down anymore. Because today we can leave here more than conquerors. More than conquerors. through Jesus Christ. I want us to leave here knowing that we do not have to face defeat. We do not we have to face defeat sometimes. We do not have to stay defeated. Today I want us to know that we can serve a God that has power over our problems. A God who has the power over our problems. Today, we need to remind ourselves that we are more than conquerors. Romans chapter 8 now. By the way, Romans 8, my slide, my thing, whatever this is, remote control, is not changing, Brother Robert. So if you'll click that slide for me. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 39, this is a passage that you want to underline. If you do those kinds of things in your Bible, you want to highlight it if you do those kinds of things. And if you don't, you might just want to memorize it. Okay? Romans 8, what a chapter of the Bible, right? It's one of those chapters that when you're having down days, you need to pull it out. You need to keep it there so that we can remind ourselves. We're not going through the whole thing, but we are going to pick up in verse 28 now. Listen as we read along. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined. What did He predestine us to do? To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Now let me tell you right there, we could stop and probably extend the invitation and be fed. Because that's some rich stuff. But there's more to it. But I just want that to focus on your mind. By the way, predestination, not in this certain amount of people going to heaven, this certain amount of people going to hell. Not that kind of predestination. But God predestined us, what? To be in the glory, in the image of His Son. And then those of us that He predestined to be in the glory, in the image of His Son, He then called us. He called us out of the world. He said, come on. And once He called us and we came, He justified us. He made us just if I had never sinned. He cleansed us from our sins. And because of that, we also can be glorified. That's a beautiful section of Scripture. But it goes on to say, Paul does, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Verse 33 now. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. There's a lot of richness just in that verse. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things. Now, think about what he said. What are these things there now? These things are tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. These are things the devil is using to knock you down, to knock me down, to knock them down. Today, if you are defeated, in your defeat, in your trouble, in your trial, in your tribulation, in your misery, we can still be more than conquerors. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. wow, I got to catch my breath. Because that is so rich. It is so strength. It just gains strength. We gain strength from it. We gain knowledge from it. We gain courage from it. And it is one of those sections of Scripture that I get excited about. The more I read it and the more I think about it, the more I meditate in it, and the more I apply it to my life. Jesus Christ told us, in this world you're going to have tribulation. But He told us, be of good cheer, I've overcome this world. But in this world, right now, today, in this room, there are those who are battling diseases. Or we know of those that are battling that. There are those who you're struggling paycheck to paycheck to wonder where the next meal's going to come from, the next bill's going to, how it's going to be paid. There are those in this room who are battling watching your spouse struggle. There are marriages in this room that could be struggling. There are families that could be in turmoil. There are so many things that could be going on right now. But isn't it a beautiful thing that we can put all that out and know that even through it all, we can be more than conquerors? But what does that mean? I think we know what the word conquerors means. I think we know what the word more means. But how can we be more than conquerors? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because today we're going to talk about what I believe God wants us to know there. Number one, we need to realize that being more than conquerors means that we are overwhelmingly victorious. Overwhelmingly victorious. I did a Google search as I was preparing for this. I wanted to find out some dominating wins. ESPN ran an article, you can probably look it up, top 25 dominating wins. I'm not going to read all 25, but I pulled the top 10 out, okay? These are in the sports world, and so you can understand that that will mean something to some of you. To some of you, it won't mean anything. So I apologize to those that it won't. But number 10 on their list, again, I don't know what all their qualifications were, but number 10, some of you will remember some of these, that some of them happened recently. The Texas Rangers, on August the 23rd, 2007. Jason, you weren't with the Texas Rangers then, were you? August the 23rd, 2007, the Texas Rangers beat the Baltimore Orioles in baseball, 30-3. Tough day for those, that pitching staff. Number 9, Super Bowl 20. The Chicago Bears, that's the Super Bowl, two best teams in the league. Chicago Bears beat the New England Patriots. How times have changed, right? 46-10, January 26, 1986. Number 8, on December the 6th, 2014, the Big Ten Championship. Two best teams in the Big Ten. Ohio State beat Wisconsin 59-0. Number 7, the World Cup soccer semifinals. This to me wasn't a big number, but it probably is a huge number because I don't know soccer that well. But July the 8th, 2014, Germany beat Brazil 7-1. Number 6, in football, college football. September 13th, 1997, UCLA beat the Texas Longhorns 66-3. This one to me should have been number one. I've used it before. October 7th, 1916. I don't know if any of y'all remember that one. Georgia Tech beat Cumberland in football 222-0. Four guys. That should have been number one in my opinion. But number 4, Super Bowl 24, San Francisco 49ers, January 28, 1990, beat the Denver Broncos 55-10. Number 3, Tiger Woods in the U.S. Open in 2000, won by 15 strokes. Number 2, horse racing. And June 9th, 1973, Secretariat. wins Belmont Stakes by 31 lengths. And their number one was the NFL Championship game, December 8, 1940. The Chicago Bears beat the Washington Redskins 73-0. Now, why do I pull that list out? Because in all 10 of those, there were wins. Every one of them were victorious. But in every one of them, they were overwhelmingly victorious. Today, the greatest victory of all. Jesus Christ left the splendor of heaven and He came to this earth to serve. Not to sit on a throne, but to get on His hands and knees and wash feet and serve, okay? But once He did that and He did His Father's will and He kept His Father's will perfectly, what did that get Him? It got Him some angry people. People that decided, we're going to not just punish Him, but we are going to crucify Him. And He goes to the cross after the beating, after the scourging, after the mocking, after everything He's gone through, and He's hung up for the world to come by at the place of skulls and see. Can you see Satan in there thinking, I did it! I killed God. I am the champion. I will rise to the throne. And they take His body down once He's dead, and they take Him into Joseph's tomb. And they roll the stone there. And Satan is just celebrating, the way I see it in my head. He's celebrating. He's excited. I've beaten God. I'll be the King of all eternity. But on the third day, Jesus Christ did something that is even hard to fathom. A dead man brought himself back to life. And He came up out of that grave. And once He came up out of that grave, we can be more than conquerors. It wasn't just a victory. It was an overwhelming victory. If you look and think about the Old Testament, God's people, Israel, they shouldn't have been that good. They didn't have the things that others had. They didn't have what the Egyptians had. They didn't have what later on the Babylonians had. They didn't have all this great armor and these great chariots and these great horses. But they were victorious. Overwhelmingly victorious. God told them to not be afraid. He was going to fight their battles for them. In fact, in Exodus 14:14, it reads, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Even when He was mad at them, like when He had Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, prophesy to them, in Jeremiah 1 verse 19, He was mad at them and told them, I'm going to punish you, but He still said, they will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you. You're going to get punished, but they're not going to defeat you. I'm not going to let it happen. In 2 Kings chapter 7, there was an instance where an entire army, they fled to their own camp when God caused them to hear the sounds of a great army coming. There was a famine that the Israelites were going through. And because of this, not only were they able to beat this army, they were able to plunder their camp. They were able to get food and get supplies and get things they needed. So they had a victory, but they were more than conquerors. Today, we too are more than conquerors. We do not have to be defeated. We're not just victorious. We're overwhelmingly victorious. But secondly, what does it mean to be more than conquerors? It means that we have to be overcomers. I was carrying on a conversation with one of our brothers today, and you know, I was talking about what I was going to be speaking on, and this brother, who's very wise, he said, that means if we're going to be more than conquerors, we've got to overcome. I said, that's one of the points today. That's exactly right. We have to be overcomers. We can't be more than conquerors if we are not overcomers. Why is that? Because Satan, we have to understand, is unfortunately our adversary. He is waiting to devour us. He sends all kinds of life-defeating, joy-stealing attacks to threaten the well-being and faith of us all. If you have never gone through an attack of Satan, get ready, it's going to come. If he came after Jesus Christ, he's coming after you and me. But because of that, it can be overwhelming, right? Those attacks are listed, a lot of them, we talked about earlier in Romans chapter 8. You know, they were going through persecutions and distress and famine and swords and perils and all those things. We're going to go through trouble. We're going to have hardship. We're going to have persecution. And listen, I know we say oftentimes, and I agree with this, we're not persecuted like they were in the Bible. And I agree, and I do not want to be. But do not think that we're not persecuted. Sometimes, now I'm not trying to dismiss or belittle anything that happened, but sometimes an emotional persecution is harder than a physical one. Physical is something, you get beat, you're going to get over it. But when somebody hates you for your faith, or somebody backbites you, or somebody tries to tear your name down or ruin you, that hurts. It really does. There are persecutions all around us. Paul's encouraging us, through as he was encouraging the church at Rome, to stand firm in our faith when those attacks come. Not only will we win if we stand firm in the end, but Jesus enables us to win now. Isn't that a we talk about in the end we're going to win, and we are. But because of Jesus, we can win now too. Satan lacks the power to steal our eternal destiny. He lacks it. When Jesus was on earth, it talks about Satan being unleashed, okay, that power being unleashed. You go back and look at the time Jesus was on earth. He's unleashed, folks. He has everything at his disposal. I mean, he's got, he's roaming the earth. He's talking to him. He's telling him what to do and commanding him to, when he's at his weakest moments, then he's taking his demons and getting inside of people and possessing them and challenging him. He's thrown everything at him in the kitchen sink. You know how the saying goes. But guess what? When Jesus came up out of that grave, he whipped Satan, and he is powerless over us today. Now, we can allow him to have power. But if we do not allow him power, he cannot take your eternal destination away. Think about this. Nothing we worry about worries God. Nothing we fear worries God. He's not afraid of anything we face. We have His love and we have His protection if we're willing to be an overcomer. I love this section of Scripture, John 10, 27 through 29. Jesus Christ said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Now let me tell you this, daddies, let me talk to you for a moment. You've got your little girl or you got your little boy and you're holding your little, and mamas, I could say Mama Bear comes out too, I know. But let me just talk to the daddies for a minute because it's in a male perspective here. But you're holding your child's hand and somebody tries to come and snatch them out of your hand. What are you going to do? They're going to have a fight on their hands. They're not taking our child away. Well, think about that's God to us. He said, "You take hold of my hand as long as you keep holding it. As long as you're willing to keep holding it, there is nothing or no one that will take you out of my hand." That's what more than conquerors is. Being an overcomer of Satan and his devices. In the book of Revelation, it's such a beautifully written book and one that I know a lot of people steer away from. But you can get this part of it for sure today. There was a time of great persecution. A time when Christianity was struggling. It was in turmoil. And Jesus, revealing it to the seven churches of Asia through those angels, but mainly through John, he said, "Write to the overcomers." And he wrote that knowing, or had John write that knowing, that his people were going to face hard times. But what he's saying is, if you can overcome this, in the end, I am going to make you more than conqueror. Stephen, when he's being stoned to death, he looks up and he sees Jesus not sitting, he's standing. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, "Stephen, I'm right here with you. God, I'm right here. You tell me to go. You give me the command, and I will bring him home." Today, don't be overcome with the defeat that Satan is trying to throw your way. Be overcome with Jesus Christ. But there's one final point. More than conquerors, overwhelmingly victorious, overcomers, and then finally one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." To be more than conquerors means we're going to have to face the trials of life with the certainty that we do not have to face it alone. It's not me by myself. That's not what one here means. It means one army. It means one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father, one hope. We need to know that we are one. We are one in Christ, who is the ultimate conqueror. We have a mighty Father who fights mightily for us. So then we can approach the darkest valleys. We can approach the darkest of days with full confidence. knowing that nothing can happen to us that is not permitted by our loving Father. And by the way, those things are permitted for good. Psalm 23:4, Romans 8:28. We have God's promise of eternal life, John 3:16, Titus 1:2, 1 John 5:11. We also have the presence of Almighty God every moment of every day until we see Him face to face. Psalm 139:7-12, Deuteronomy 31:8, Hebrews 13:5, Matthew 28:20. No sin of ours, no attempt of the enemy, nothing can steal the loving care of God from our lives, as long as we are willing to be one. One in Christ. The same one that Christ prayed for in John 17. That we would be united together. Because what happens when we're united together? You think about a cord, a string of rope, like Solomon talked about. You take one of those strings, it's easily broken. But when you bind three together, look how strong it is. When we've got the conqueror as our Lord, when we overcome whatever the devil throws at us, when we are locked arm in arm as one, we are more than conquerors. Today, I do not know what you're going through, but I know some of you are going through something. My question to you today is this. Are you down? Are you defeated? Are you filling out on your college admission sheet, "I am pinned mostly"? Today, the good news is we can get up off the mat. We can get up off the floor. We can get up out of the defeat, out of the valley, out of the darkness. We can join hand in hand with one another as we hold God's hand together. Today, if you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, why would you wait? Be more than conquerors. Today, if you need to come home and join His hand again, do not wait any longer. Let's be more than conquerors, and let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.